So welcome back to Curious Questions with me, Ricky Williams. Today we have a special guest. I say that every week. And today the special guest is me. So yes, it is Gemini season and I'm a Gemini. Last week we spoke to my twin sister who has the same chart as me. And so I thought this week we'll talk about me. And I've been really wanting to do this for a while, ever since I spoke to Eben Britton, the first podcast of the episode. He mentioned that sometimes he'll go on his podcast and it'll just be him for 20, 25 minutes. And I thought, what a really good idea. Especially since this podcast, we really just jumped in with Eben and really didn't give much of a introduction to what is astrology, what is my perspective on astrology, and what do I hope to get out of this podcast. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to touch on those subjects. And so I think I'm calling this episode, What is Astrology? What is astrology? Because it's a big question. And I think it'll help people be able to hopefully better track what we're doing on the show. So an astrological chart is a picture. You can think of it as a snapshot taken from the place, time, and date of our birth. And so this is really where it all starts. And the idea that each of us is unique. And this brings in the idea that each of us are born for a unique purpose. Okay. And when I say purpose, what I mean is we're each born with the task or the purpose of becoming ourselves. And so this snapshot of the heavens from the time of our birth, and the way I think about it, it's like a clock is really what an astrological chart is. It's a clock at its basic level, meaning, you know, if we're paying attention to, you know, our watch or the clock, we notice at 12 o'clock, it starts to get hot and we get hungry. And so we start to plan our day and we say, okay, about noon, you know, 12:30, I'm going to make sure I eat. And so we plan our day around that. Okay. And it helps our life run more smoothly. And I think the first astrologers kind of did the same thing, except I imagine, you know, they were thinking about when to plant crops. And noticing certain times of the year were good times to plant crops. Certain times of the year were a great time to pull crops. And then they started to notice that other events seemed to correlate to this clock, this celestial clock. And then I think eventually they started to realize people born at 12 o'clock seemed to be really hungry, you know, and hot natured. And it extrapolated from there. And so I think early astrology was really based on events, right? Noticing correlations, coincidences between where the planets are in the sky and a tendency of certain types of events to occur, okay? And this is how astrology got into this idea of we can predict what's going to happen in the future by looking at astrology, okay? But as we've evolved as humans, our ideas about the way the world works has changed drastically. And I think in regards to astrology, the most drastic changes or evolutions in humankind have to do with psychology, where now, and you know, in the past, we used to blame things on, you know, gods and demons and spirits, events. Now we are more, you know, psychological, and we can point the origin of certain events to our mindset, our traumatic things that have happened to us in the past, right? And so instead of nowadays, when astrologers look at a chart, we're not looking to predict events, okay? It's evolved to the place where we can use an astrological chart to predict internal events, okay? When are you gonna have to deal with your anger issues? When are you gonna have to deal with your mom issues? When is going to be a good time for you to partner up, right? To find someone to help you out in life or help you out on a certain project, right? It's about the clock, but it's about the timing of development of internal potentials. To me, when you look at a chart, the planets and the signs and the houses and all that stuff, as we learn to interpret it, what it's really showing us is the internal our internal potentials. When we're born, you know, what we have the potential to become. Okay, I think of, an oak tree, okay? When you have an acorn and you plant an acorn, the potential of that acorn is to become an oak tree. But right, it depends on the soil that it's planted in. Is it receiving the right kind of nutrients from the environment? Is it getting enough rain? Is it protected from animals coming to eat it before it gets old enough? Okay. So this idea of inner potentials in the seed, but those inner potentials need to be nourished by the environment to reach their full potential, right? And so if we look at the chart as our inner potentials, okay, what needs to be nourished by the environment, and we, as we become adults, we start to realize, you know, that we're our own parents and that we are more agentic forces, meaning we have more choice, then we can start to make choices in our environment that can honor and nurture and nourish our inner potentials. Okay. I'll use myself as an example, right? And the contrast that I want to point to is, you know, I think we can learn about and understand our inner potentials without looking at a chart, because life's experiences, right? Certain things we do, they work out for us. Certain things we do, they don't work out for us. And eventually we learn what I like to call the hard way, okay? And I think what a chart can do is it can give us a hint. It can give us a clue of right directions to head in to help us learn things the easier way, okay? To learn things the easier way. So we're born into a family, an environment, and they have ideas about who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to turn out, okay? And if they're not looking at a chart or don't know how to interpret it, our parents I'm speaking of and our teachers, they're taking their best guess based off how they've been how they've been trained or how they've been taught to raise us or to teach us, okay? And if we're lucky, it's close enough that we figure it out, okay, eventually. But in a lot of ways, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot. Is we have these inner potentials represented by the chart, and we land in some kind of environment. And depending on us, right, that environment is going to nourish and feed certain inner potentials, and some that it's not. And those have to be, as we become adults again, we have to take responsibility to nourish those inner potentials. Okay, now me as an example. All right, so I grew up in San Diego, California. And I remember being really young, and although I had a bit of a speech impediment, I stuttered a little bit. I was very quick. I was very smart. That's probably why I stuttered, because my mind moving so quickly. Gemini, mind moving so quickly, more quicker than the words can form and come out of my mouth. Okay, but I was a sharp kid, and I excelled in math, and I was okay in reading, but I was a good student, and I had a reputation for being smart. For being smart pretty much as a kid. This is somewhat common with Gemini, okay? So I talk about inner potentials, okay? What I'm talking about, I was born with my son in Gemini. The inner potential is for me to become a storyteller or a teacher, okay? A storyteller or a teacher. And the whole idea behind this is someone who has the ability to take in experiences, perceptions, look at them, understand them, and then be able to share them with other people to bring new perspectives, okay? New perspectives, all right? This is the inner potential, all right? And I think the deepest, or I should say the highest potential of Gemini, I think is someone who learns to communicate with the universe, meaning the ability to perceive omens, to see what's really there, okay? To see what's really there. And so the more data we take in, the more information we take in, it allows us to process, okay, this is what this is, this is what this is, this is what this is, okay? And so the narrative around Gemini is there's a need for a lot of different experiences so that you have interesting stories to tell or you have something interesting to teach, okay? That's the idea. So I grow up, again, I'm smart, that's Gemini, and then as I get into later in elementary school, I get tested and they put me in the advanced classes, okay? But at the same time, I'm also an athlete and I play sports. And so most people, when they looked at me, little black kid, they pushed me more towards sports. And, you know, being raised by a single mom, latchkey kid, when I got home, it was more fun to go out and play than it was to study. And so that part of me, the educational part, really wasn't nurtured by my environment, but me being an athlete was. And so I went down that path and I was so good that I kept being rewarded for it, made it to the NFL, okay? And I remember a couple of years in Miami, someone suggested I read The Da Vinci Code. And at this time, I didn't consider myself a reader. I think I'd read maybe two books my whole life. And I started reading this book, and I was struck because I grew up Christian, and kind of the whole idea behind The Da Vinci Code is that, you know, quite possibly there's an alternate story, right? There's hidden missing information to the story that I was given. Okay. So I grew up in the church, like I said. And so I started reading this book and I start thinking outside of the box. I started thinking, wow, if this is true, that would mean, if this is true, that would mean, if this is true. And my mind really started to open. All these new ideas started to come in and my world really started to expand. And I don't think it was a coincidence that, you know, within a few months I retired from the NFL and started to travel. Okay. Again, this idea of, you know, society telling me that I should be a football player, that's what I'm thinking. The storyteller, the curious person in me really hadn't been nurtured or fed. A friend gives me this book. I start reading this book, wakes something up in me, okay? And it wakes up the Gemini, this element of Gemini. And so I become really curious. And I start reading pretty much every book I can get my hand on, and I start to travel. And as I do that, I start to have more interesting stories to tell. You know, I tell my friends, the 3 months after I retired from the NFL in 2004, I felt like I lived more in those 3 months than I had the previous 27 years of my life. And I did some amazing things in those 27 years of my life. But this is really what the sun in astrology tells us, right? What vivifies us, what lights us up, right? And sometimes we grew up in a family or with the right plumbing, meaning the right gender, the right skin color, where our culture cherishes those things that light us up. And lucky for us, but sometimes we're not. You know, sometimes we're not. Sometimes an Aquarius, someone who's born to think out of the box, is born into a family of fundamentalists in any religion, okay? In any religion, all right? There's going to be tension in that experience. And an example of how to use the chart in that experience is realizing that someone who their inner potential, right, is to be a genius. I'm talking about Aquarius. Their inner potential is to be someone that brings something new into the world, right? Who has the ability to see outside of the box, right? If they grow up in a fundamentalist house, right, there's going to probably be some wounds that need to be healed. And so if someone like that comes to me and I'm looking at their chart and I see a bunch of Aquarius, one of the first questions I ask is, what was your relationship like with your parents? Because Aquarius, right, the inner potential is to become a genius, right? To be able to see things that other people don't see. But in order to do that, you have to learn to break the rules because we're all taught a certain way to see things. And so I know with most Aquarians, there's going to be some drama around if they're doing a good job, that they found a way to break free from their cultural training, okay? And if they've gone too far, they're going to probably have purple, yellow hair and be a little bit too rebellious. If they haven't gone far enough, they're going to feel stuck, right? They're going to feel stuck and bored. And depending on where they are, it doesn't even matter. I just tell the same story. So they can connect. They can connect to the narrative. If it's their son, they can connect to the narrative in their life that's gonna bring vitality and life force to them. And I think also more importantly, it'll help them put their past struggles and their past successes in some kind of context. All right. I mean, people that hear me speak about this, they you know, they can tell I get passionate, and I feel like I'm transforming into my dad, who's a preacher. And I really do look at astrology in a religious sense. And I think of it as it's our own personal religion. Okay. I think if you look across all different sorts of religions, you're gonna see that the basic truths are the same. Okay, are the same. And I think what astrology helps us figure out is, because the truths are relative, but they're all the same. So I think what astrology helps us fill out is which truths apply to me at what time. Okay, an example. All right, what astrologers call Jupiter or Sagittarius is about, you know, taking risk, right? It's about saying yes to life, right? It's about keep shooting. Eventually it's going to go in, all right? Planet Saturn or energy of Capricorn is about not necessarily saying no, but saying slow down. I want to make sure that if I invest my energy into this, then I'm going to get something real and tangible out of it. Okay. And so the cliches of, you know, believe in yourself and take a risk and everything will go well is great for a Sag or someone going through a Sagittarian or a Jupiter time in their life. It's going to work. Okay. But if you give someone that advice in a Saturn time or a Capricorn time, when really the part of them that's being developed is the part that needs to work hard and persevere and keep going and stay focused, right? It's not going to work, right? This is where you need the cliches about hard work pays off, right? Stay focused, okay? Make sure you're climbing the right mountain, okay? And so this is extremely valuable, right? Because again, if someone who has more Capricorn in their chart grows up in a family of Sages, okay, that Capricorn probably is not going to get fed. It's probably going to be shamed, okay? It's probably going to be shamed. And so this idea of a chart helps us understand our inner potentials. Reflecting on our lives helps us understand the experiences that have shaped, sometimes shaped into something beautiful, sometimes shaped into something not so beautiful, our lives. And more importantly, we can start to consciously acknowledge, see, understand what we need and make choices to shape our lives in ways that are nurturing our potentials. And again, why I think astrology is spiritual is because I think we all have this need. Sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's unconscious. But we all have this need to become something more than we currently are, right? And I don't mean like judging ourselves as bad and we need to be better, but the nature of life is always growing to become a more developed and complex version of itself. And again, this is why I love astrology and this analogy of the inner potentials. And if we nourish those inner potentials, we come into full bloom in our lives. And regardless of what that looks like, right? I don't think we can predict what our happiness or what our success will look like, but I think we can get a sense of what it'll feel like. And usually it's that feeling we get when we're tapping into and unfolding our full potentials, right? And so again, back to my story as a football player and as a Gemini, I didn't feel like I was fulfilling my full potentials, okay? Within a year of retiring from football, I started traveling around the world, started studying Ayurveda, and really becoming a student. I started reading, really becoming a student of life. And since then, you know, I've probably taken hundreds of different courses, classes, trainings. You know, I have an extensive library. And I really feel that I'm on a trajectory in my life where I'm doing a podcast and I'm telling stories and I'm talking about astrology. I'm sharing the information that I've been studying for the past 16 or 17 years. And the way it feels to me is, I mean, you can tell when people, they can feel it when they're around me speaking, is that I feel like I'm moving towards reaching my full potential. Okay, that's my sun. All right, my moon. All right, the moon, it represents our inner world, okay? How we take care of ourselves, but also, you know, if we do a good job taking care of ourselves, that energy spills over and we start to take care and nurture the people around us. Okay, this is the moon. If we don't take care of the moon, we're too moody, right? We're not taking care of ourselves. We're in a bad mood. We don't ever feel like doing the things we need to be doing, okay? And so reaching our full potential in the big picture requires us to learn to take care of ourselves, okay? Learn to take care of ourselves. And this is where the moon comes in. My moon is in Cancer, right? So I'm a sensitive person, okay? Cancer is about sensitivity. It's about developing an open heart, the ability to perceive what we feel and what other people feel, okay? All right, this is a fine art, right? To perceive how we feel without going into judgment of how we feel, right? Oh, I feel grumpy. I shouldn't. Oh, I feel mad. I shouldn't. Oh, I'm happy. Oh, I shouldn't feel happy. Right? We typically judge our feelings, but true moon is about being aware of our feelings and thinking about, okay, how do I take care of this? Right? When I talk to clients about the moon, I use the image of a mother with a newborn child. Okay. The child can't speak, right? The child can only cry and express how they feel. And if a mother is sensitive to how the child feels, they'll be able to sense, does this baby need a new diaper? Does this baby need food? All right, what does this baby need? Okay. And we're born babies, and I think there's a part of us that always stays a baby, you know, and a lot of psychological circles, they talk about the inner child, right? This is one of the ways that we can talk about the moon. How do we attend to our inner child, right? Moon in Cancer, for me, it has to do with this feeling safe enough to share feelings, okay? And so in a positive sense, okay, Cancer is about this ability to sense who's safe enough to be vulnerable around, okay? If we don't do it enough, right, we're too guarded, right? We're too guarded. We're always looking for what's gonna hurt our feelings, what's gonna hurt us. And we don't fulfill our potential because we stay too guarded to really open our hearts. If we open our hearts too much, okay, we share our sensitivity and our vulnerability with the wrong person and we get hurt and we end up doing what? Closing down again, right? So especially the moon in Cancer, right? This becomes a big theme because these two symbols are very similar to each other. They're both about feeling. And it's interesting, in astrology, the moon is connected to feelings, but it's also connected to family. And I think about this for two reasons. One is because our family of origin is where we learn which feelings are allowed and which feelings are not allowed. Okay, some families, anger is expected, right? Passion, aggression is expected. Some families, it's taboo. We don't yell in this house, okay? And so we learn what feelings are acceptable in our family of origin, okay? And the other reason I think the moon and Cancer are connected to family is because the people that are family, right? When I mean my family, I don't always mean blood family. I also mean people who feel like family, people who we feel safe to be ourselves around, okay? Is that when we're around those kinds of people, it's easier for us to be in touch with how we feel, right? Because when we feel safe, right, our real feelings come out, okay? And we need access to our real feelings to be able to know what we need and to be able to nurture ourselves, okay? So this has been a big task for me. And what I learned the hard way, you know, is that becoming a football player is not conducive to being in touch with your feelings. I mean, if we're talking about the physical feelings, first thing is I was always hurting. My body was always hurting. And if we're talking about my more emotional feelings, right, there was always the coach yelling, you know, other players complaining, fans complaining, right? And so, you know, being in the public spotlight is difficult for a sensitive person. And the where my moon is, the top of the chart, is in the public, okay? I was diagnosed with social anxiety disorder. Okay, this is right. This sensitivity wasn't nurtured. It wasn't nourished. Okay, I was a football player, and so I went through a time where it was triggered, and it came out on the surface publicly. You know, came out as having mental health issues. Okay, I addressed them. All right, and I started to make choices in my environment. I got into therapy. I started meditating. I started working on my mom issues, my family issues, and I started to make the choices I needed to make to take care of myself, to nurture myself, right? I've had a lot of good luck. I've, you know, been married twice and married to two fabulous women. And this, they both had a lot to do with healing family and healing my heart and helping me learn a safe place to be vulnerable, okay? And this is the evolution, okay? Social anxiety to now I'm doing a podcast and I'm talking about astrology and mental health and I'm talking about these sensitive issues. Now I have no problem sharing my heart with the public, all right? This is how it works. And the final part of my primal triad is Virgo, okay? Virgo, this is the inner potential, the archetype of the mentor, right? This is about competence, becoming really good at something, all right? Obviously, the first thing that I became really good at was becoming a football player. And one of the things about Virgo and becoming good at something is what, you know, whatever you do daily, right? Whatever you do on a daily basis, whatever you keep doing, you're going to get good at, right? You're going to become better at. And I think about football, right? Every day, lifting weights, practicing. I loved it. Really nourishing this is a part of me, right? That was nourished by the environment. Luckily, my mom put me in sports at an early age. And so I got to feed that Virgo. I got to become really good at something, okay? And when I left football and I started to study yoga, right? Yoga is very Virgo, right? It's a practice. Right? Anything that's a practice is Virgo, right? What you do on a daily basis, you get better at. So I started my yoga practice and I just loved it. I started studying astrology, which is a practice and something you have to do every day to become more and more competent. And so I was able to channel my Virgo away from sports and into healing modalities, okay? Again, tapping back into that Cancer moon, healing modalities in astrology, right? So using my ascendant, my Virgo ascendant, my competence to support my Cancer moon and my Gemini sun, okay? so this is how it works, right? The idea of we can take responsibility for our own lives, to recognize that we are all born with the purpose, okay? And a chart can show you that purpose, those inner potentials that are here to be, but they must be developed, that are here to be developed. And then depending on where we are in life, we can reflect on how have I been, you know, how have I developed these parts of myself, right? And it'll be obvious, right? The times in your life where you struggled and it felt meaningful, it's because you were feeding those potentials. The times in your life where you felt miserable and it didn't lead to anything and you just felt miserable, you were not feeding those potentials. You know, again, we can learn the hard way or through the help of astrology. We can find our path and live it honorably the easy way. Okay. I hope this was helpful. And hopefully you have a better understanding of me and a better understanding of astrology. Before I go, I will say, I always talk about the primal triad or the big three, the sun, the moon, and the ascendant. The reality is there's eight other planets and two things we call the nodes. So there's a lot more going on in the chart, but you can think of the sun, the moon, and the ascendant of really our core potentials, right? Our the core part of us, and everything else, you can think of tools, right? Tools that we have to learn to use to fulfill that potential. But, you know, we have to understand the sun, the moon, and the ascendant first, because who's using the tools? Once we understand that, we go into the Venus, the Mars, the Mercury, et cetera. And we understand the specifics about the tools, and we can think of, okay, how to develop these potentials and how can all of these things work together to create our life as a poem, as something beautiful, as a work of art, something we can be proud of. And I really, that's my idea of spirituality, is how to take our inner potentials in this crazy world and creatively express them in unique, fulfilling, uplifting ways, right? Thank you for listening to me. This was fun, really sharing my perspective and sharing my view. Again, hopefully it was helpful. If you're digging what I'm putting out there in the world, please like and subscribe. And I will see you next week. Bye.